Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD iHeart or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We have two sponsors, Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Two things I take regularly, and you can too. Go to their website to see the randomized controlled trials, and longevityplaybook.com, where you can go to their website and sign up for their free newsletter. We have a special guest for you today. She's the ambassador for the Myositis Association, and that isn't all she is, but we'll just introduce her that way. She is supermodel Karen Alexander, and she also will talk a little bit about its relationship of myositis and dermatomyositis, which I think she got diagnosed as. You couldn't tell it looking at her, however, but she got diagnosed with that in 2016. Thank you, Karen, for coming on. Tell us how you got involved with the myositis organization. So you got the diagnosis. Dermatomyositis is an incurable autoimmune disease that left you both weak and with swallowing problems. Is that right?
That is correct. Thank you for having me. I love your show, so it's a real thrill to be here with you. So I actually had a rash for almost 15 years that would come out when I was in the sun. And I was living on the East Coast, but working as a model on a lot of those exotic locations that you might see for Sports Illustrated and Vogue and all of that. And whenever I was in the sun, I would get a sort of, I'm making a V-shape, people can't see me, as though I had a V-neck t-shirt on. And I would get this rash front and back for many years. And
that's without a V-neck on, you would get the V-neck.
Sometimes with much less than a V-neck on, but I always got that sort of tan line. And as you can see me, I have very dark skin, but it was after the birth of my third daughter at the age of 47.
Wow. She looks about 24 now. So 47, that is at least 8 years ago. So I'm dating you, but if you're in your 50s, it's an amazing 50s.
I was already your fan. You didn't have to say that, but thank you. I am almost 59 years old. So after I gave birth to Audrey, my baby, I never really recovered, which is not surprising being 47. However, things that I used to do, like working out, running, lifting weights, I just never really recovered. I would work out and within hours, I would begin to have muscle weakness. Limbs would feel very heavy. And eventually, about 9 months after she was born, I did what I did, put her to bed, went to work out. And when I say workout, I was not a CrossFit workout. It was more like yoga and swinging my kettlebells or something, nothing really intense. But I had that feeling of being dehydrated. And so I'm drinking water. I don't drink Gatorade normally, but because I felt so odd, I had my husband run out and get me Gatorade. I'm drinking water and Gatorade and lemonade. And my muscles were getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And within about, by the next morning, I couldn't walk. This is about 24 hours. And I was rushed to the hospital and I was diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis, which happens, I know, to a lot of CrossFit. Well, not a lot, but can happen to CrossFit people who don't hydrate.
So we ought to define that. And rhabdomyolysis is the muscle, if you will, your muscles are taken apart and killed, essentially. And the rhabdomyolysis is you absorb the products of them, and they can in fact impede kidney function as well as be very painful and cause no ability to use your muscles.
Right. That was the initial diagnosis. My CK was, I think, 14,000 or something.
So CK is a muscle enzyme that's released when the muscle dies or when a cell, a muscle cell, is hurt. So your normal is probably under 40. And when you do a hard workout, it might go to 150 or 200. So 14,000 is way more than you would get. In other words, if you have the flu and a shaking chill, et cetera, you might get up to a couple hundred. 14,000 is a real muscle death. And it's not one muscle, it's multiple muscles to get that high a level.
Right. And in my case, I had cramping, what I thought was cramping in my thighs and in my arms, my upper arms. And so, you know, I was giving steroids and told, rest, don't work out too much, and you'll be better. But I never got better. I never really recovered. When you looked at me, actually, my quadriceps were concave. I'd lost so much muscle very quickly. And another hallmark of myositis is the inability to comb your hair or to get out of a chair. Or as a model, I'd try to blow dry my hair in this repetitive motion. And I kept thinking, it's the blow dryer. You know, I kept, you know, running out and buying a new blow dryer. The blow dryer is too heavy. Why is it so heavy? Or I would try to walk up my street, which is got a fairly nice incline. And I just kept thinking, wow, this last baby of mine really took a lot out of me. I didn't fully understand because I didn't have a diagnosis yet. I mean, the rhabdo was, no one had really connected the rash that I'd had for so many years.
So myositis is a attacking of your muscles by your immune system. Steroids are a common first step and they usually don't do much. So what did you do to, you look like you've recovered a great deal. So this woman is using her arms and, if you will, in a vigorous fashion. But Karen was a supermodel and is a supermodel. So tell us about how your association with the Myositis Association started.
So when I was diagnosed, I was diagnosed by two physicians, my rheumatologist and a neuromuscular specialist, a neurologist. And my neuromuscular specialist said, our visits will be frequent until you are stable, but you really do need to learn as much as you can and you need support. And she recommended that I look up the Myositis Association.
And we ought to make sure we know their website. It's myositis.org. The Myositis Organization, which I assume can help people do research as about myositis on their website, but also you can donate through their website at myositis.org. But Karen, so you started going to the myositis.org organizational website to learn more about it.
Yes, because there's a limit to how much any physician can really spend with you during a visit. And she rightly knew that I would need support. And one of the first times that I went to the website, they have a section where there are patient stories. And they're so impactful because I was able to learn not just about my form of myositis, and there are several, but I was able to see that there are patients who are doing really well. And patients with dermatomyositis, they were talking about their treatments. And it really was a source of not just education, but a source of real hope for me.
And the Myositis Organization has just had their annual meeting in Baltimore. So you are one of the three women focused on the front page of the website. Tell me, is this mainly a female disease?
Well, actually, it does affect women more than men, which is really surprising. And women tend to not, well, especially dark-skinned women tend to not do as well because of the delay in diagnosis.
And the delay in diagnosis is partially because of what?
One of the challenges is in recognizing that the rash that appears on my skin will look very different than it would look on yours.
That is, Anna, the skin of a Caucasian shows the rash much more prominently than that on a, especially an African American. And consequently, it is often that diagnosis is not picked up as quickly on African American women, especially since it's V-neck and everyone says, well, you must have been wearing a V-neck out in the sun.
Exactly. And then also the issue of just the CK level, which we were talking about, the thought has been that African Americans can have a higher CK level. But I think in a similar fashion to the way that the medical community is reconsidering or has reconsidered kidney function in African Americans, there also hopefully there'll be some reconsideration in not just making an assumption based on race that I automatically have a higher CK level, but that they're in conjunction with the rash and other issues, you know, other things going on and not just lupus, right? That's usually the first diagnosis they make.
And tell me, how have you recovered? Because you look like you're totally functional. So tell me how you've recovered.
So like many autoimmune diseases, there are ups and downs. And I am thrilled to be meeting you in an up phase or an up chapter of my disease. The recovery is complex in that, of course, I'm treated by immune suppressive medications. I also receive IVIG every 3 weeks.
That's intravenous immune globulin.
Yes. And IVIG is really the only FDA approved treatment for dermatomyositis. And that was just approved, I believe, 4 years ago. I also have physical therapy. I've never stopped doing physical therapy. I've done OT, occupational therapy. And the funny thing is, for many years, the thought was with myositis that you should not exercise. And that's what patients were told until about perhaps 20 years ago. And now the knowledge is that you must exercise. It's the way and how often you exercise that's important. But the medications are one thing, but exercise is also one of my medications. It's not optional.
And food, stress relief?
I'm working on it, doctor. I'm working on it. But certainly diet. The funny thing is...
Your daughter is what, 12 now?
My baby's 12, yes.
And how old is your oldest?
She's turning 34. And my middle girl's 27.
Right. So the other two pay attention to mama, but the 13-year-old is about to lose paying attention to mama.
That's
for
right.
About 6 years. Yes.
And we jokingly call her Ruth Bader Ginsburg because she litigates everything that I say at this point. So I'm not cool anymore, let's just say.
That's right. But you will get there again in 6 years. I have news for you. It is an amazing phenomenon, as you probably discovered with your others.
That's right. If I survive it, yes.
Right. So how much of the time that you spend is up, meaning feeling good versus not? And how do you handle the downtimes?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you. I am not by nature a very flexible person. Up until myositis, I was not a very flexible person. I had very rigid thinking, very sort of control, like things had to go my way. I was very organized. And what this disease has done for me, sort of like motherhood, has definitely stretched me, no pun intended in terms of muscles, but I have to wake up and just take that day as day one. I don't make any assumptions about tomorrow or tonight or that today will be like yesterday. And I do the very best that I can. I try to be kind to myself. I try to speak to myself the way that I would speak to my daughters, the way that I would speak to anyone that I really care about. And like I said, my diet is very, very important. I didn't have to make a lot of changes, actually, because I've already always watched my diet, but I prioritize my rest my sleep is everything, and my exercise. And I figure if I do those two things and I am kind to myself, even on a bad day, if I'm kind to myself, then I just say, this is the best I can do today, right? This does not determine tomorrow or next week.
So the take home from this is a vivacious supermodel who is living with a chronic disease and has raised her now three children and is living a life that is wonderful in giving back to the myositis organization. So from those of us who practice medicine and say this is a disease that needs more funding and more work and is generally not as well understood as many, as most other diseases. Dermatomyositis, myositis, there are a range of these, and we know they're autoimmune. They can actually sometimes be caused by cancer treatments, such as the checkpoint inhibitors can trigger them. And there are some therapies for those, at least in getting rid of that with therapeutic plasma exchange, which we talk about elsewhere on this for longevity. But in the meantime, myositis.org is the way to go. Find out other patient stories, find out what they're doing in research, and consider contributing. It's much more valuable to contribute them to any political organization, in my humble opinion, in this time of crazy politics. Thank you, Karen, for being here. And thank our sponsors, Life's First Naturals, the makers of TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as longevityplaybook.com, where you can go and sign up for the free newsletter. Do go to myositis.org just to at least look at a beautiful website and a beautiful person, Karen Alexander, inner beauty as well. Thank you very much.